Krishna, 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 Krish Oh, Is there anything we can do to make it cool like in the Alaska? Pen, yeah, maybe for some time the pen.
What do you think?
Yes.
Not in my direction.
Yeah.
Well. Maybe when no one is disturbed.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. I know it's very hot, but this cools hopefully the soul.
Maybe if you put it here where the fresh air is, and just bring the fresh air just for two or 3 minutes. What
outside,
do you think?
Outside.
And
yeah, outside, and then new fresh air.
You're intelligent, dear Prashanta. You know how to do this. No, you use your brain. Yes.
And you see, tell in Serbia, someone, you are intelligent, they all laugh at you. it's a fact, we have very intelligent devotees.
Life, they picked up
the loose thread, they continued where they left in a previous life. Krishna in the Gita also says that it is not possible to attain the perfection of human life in one lifetime only. He said, those who have acted previously, that means in a previous lifetime, in the proper spiritual way, they can pick up devotional service in this life. It is my observation also that most of the devotees who come to our movement have practiced spiritual life previously. At the moment I have, for instance, the pleasure to be associated with an assistant, the astrologer, best astrologer in India, had said that in a past life he had been a priest and he had desired the spiritual perfection, but then he made a mistake and didn't obtain it in this life. So I think I can see this person is naturally drawn to spiritual life as if it is very natural. And I believe for many of us, when we came in contact with Krishna consciousness, we feel this is the most natural thing. I think we didn't think, oh, it's strange that a plant is worshipped, that Srimati Tulsi Devi is worshipped. We had no problems with this. It was, yes, why not? Yes, yes, plant is worshipped as a great devotee of the Lord. That means some of the concepts were already clear to us when we arrived in this human form of life. So here the Vritta again wants to be become a servant of the servants of Krishna. The Lord listened to him and said, Vritta, I have so many nice things to offer. Why do you wish to become a servant of my servant? What would you like? Would you not like to go to a paradise in the heavenly planets? Or would you not like to have liberation from this world? But Vritra only energetically shakes his head, negating, no, no. He says, Nanaka Prishtam, Nacha Parameshtyam. My Lord, it's clear, you are the source of all opportunities. But I want to tell you, I do not desire to enjoy Dhruva Loka or the heavenly planets or even the planets of Lord Brahma. I don't even desire to be a master of the powers of mystic yoga. If I have to give up your lotus feet, nothing of this is interesting for me. Now you might say, Vritra is a little contradictory. I mean, if he says he doesn't want anything except the lotus feet of Krishna, why is he on the battlefield? It's like this evening, you will see a few devotees on the exit festival. And you might ask them, if you are devotees of the Lord, if you don't want material life, why are you on the exit festival? Yeah. Good question. So the devotees would answer to you, we are not on the exit festival to take drugs and to dance the twist of whatever you dance nowadays. We are there to spread Krishna consciousness. So the same way Vritra says, I'm not on the battlefield to win a battle. In fact, I want to lose this battle. I want that my body gets destroyed so that I have no rope any longer which binds me to the world. But then the Lord said to him, Vritta, tell me again very clearly, what is it that you want then? And Britta says a wonderful prayer. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yatavat satarakshutata niyam deva mushitam visana mano ravindakshati dikshate tvam. My Lord, who has lotus eyes, whenever you speak of Krishna, you have to say Aravindaksha. He has the eyes like the petals of a lotus flower. They're very beautiful and they're usually very big. They go up to the ears. Have you ever seen eyes which go up to the ears? This is very beautiful. Someone who looks like this, very beautiful. So he says, my Lord, you look so beautiful with your lotus eyes. I want to tell you what I want. Now I wish to serve you. Then he offers three examples. Like a little baby bird who always waits for the mother to bring food. Then he thought, no, this sounds very, very... not the right example. The mother brings food, which is something outside of her body. She flies all over and picks up some worms here and some grass there. I want something which is directly connected, which is from inside, my Lord. So he says, like a calf who always wants the milk of the mother, that's how I want you. But then he thought, oh, this is so selfish. The bird leaves the mother when the mother has given the food. The calf is no longer interested in the cow when it doesn't give milk. My love for you, my Lord, is like the wife's love to the husband. It is serving and, him and pleasing him in all respects. That's what I want. So, Krishna hears these prayers and which come from the heart. I think, my dear devotees, when we want to pray to Krishna, only those prayers which come from our heart, they reach the Lord. We may have to learn the language of love when we pray. I would like to give you an example. Last year I was in Vrindavan and I had walked for 2 days. I was a little tired, so I sat down in an ashram, but then there was a cow who saw me and who ran at me very aggressively. Oh, I think I have sat down without knowing the rules of the ashram at the sitting place of the cow. So I did not know what to do. The cow was really charging with the horns. Then I saw this little boy, very little boy, like Sriji, coming to the cow. The boy said to the cow, Bandhu, Bandhu. He's a friend, you know. And when the cow heard the little boy, the little boy took the ropes of the cow and pulled the cow away, and the cow, you know, this little boy, it was a big cow, the boy was very small, but the cow knew, this, I love this boy, and the boy loves me, I will make peace with this foreigner from Germany. And she looked at me and said, ooh, and then went with a tiny little boy. It had almost killed me, but when the boy, who knows the language of love, came to the cow, the cow could be controlled very easily by the boy. So the Lord is also like this. When you address the Lord, do it in the language of love. Do it from your heart, like Vritta Sura did it here. And this was very good. Now, as Indra listened to Vritasura, Vritra, standing on the battlefield and praying, he became convinced, this is a great devotee of the Lord. And he became determined, I will not attack Vritra. This is the greatest sin, by attack a devotee. Vritra, at that moment, became very determined. He said, no, I want to end this life, this sinful life which I have here. But Indra is hesitating, so I must be a little heavy with him. I must make him angry. So Vritra got on Indra's case. Oh, personification of sin, your last moment has come. With this, he took his powerful trident. What is trident? Trozubats. He took his trozubats. That sounds proper. And he threw it at Indra. And when this trozubats came flying at Indra, it was so powerful, sparks began to flow from the trozubats, from the trident. And Indra saw it coming. But this time, he thought, I better start fighting now. He took the vraja, the thunderbolt, and he threw it at the trident, which immediately broke a thousand of pieces. And then he the trident went into the shoulder of Vritasura and cut his arm off. And Vritra started to bleed. But he was not at all confused. He took with his other arm a club and began to beat on Indra's jaw, that's here, and on Airavata. And Indra fell down, and Airavata fell down, and all the devatas said, bravo! Bravo! Vritra had given such a good fight. His arm was gone, but he took the other arm and dealt a powerful blow against Vritra. All the charanas, this is mystical beings, and the siddhas, the perfected beings, arrived at the sky and began to shower flowers at Vritra. Then they remembered, oh, wait a minute, Vritra is who just has severely hurt Indra and made him fall down on the battlefield. He is a demon. He looks like a demon. No, he's fighting with Indra. Alas, and they began to cry. My God, they were bewildered. Because Vritra was so absolutely conflicting and so absolutely confusing and perplexing. Indra became so ashamed that he did not pick up his weapon. You know, the vraja had fallen out of his head when Vritasura took his one arm. But this time Vritra began to preach to Indra. He said, this is not the time to lament your fate. Take up your thunderbolt and finally kill me, your enemy. And then he gave him good instruction. I think this is very important for us. Just fight. Don't be attached to victory or defeat. There's only one person who is always victorious. That is Krishna. Krishna, yes. We living entities are fully dependent on him, and we are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. Then he gave an analogy. We are like birds. Krishna has thrown a net over us, and however he moves the net, we also move. We are totally like puppets on a string, or people who are captured in a powerful net. time. You can never always win. Yeah, you are always under the control of the Lord. I want to give you an example how it is important for devotees to become, let me say, a little bit tolerant of victory or defeat. For instance, today we go on this big festival with thousands of people, but you don't know, maybe they do not like our music and they will go shh, and the condition so is when we say, now get up and chant, they say no. and then Jai Gopal plays Mitanga, they think this is very bad rhythm. And, you know, it can happen. We can never guarantee that we are always and whatever we do victorious. When you go out on book distribution, you know, sometimes you don't distribute any book. When you try to give a lecture, sometimes it's so boring what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of their mouth, that everyone leaves your lecture and thinks, I never go to this fool Sachinanda Swami again. You have to be humble at that time. Krishna, Krishna. And there is one example. Ravana had been victorious over all the planets, the higher planets, the middle planets, and the lower planets. Once he put up his tents at a river, all of a sudden he noted that the river was swelling, becoming bigger, and coming over the banks, and his tents were becoming wet, and he went, ooh, he had to go. And then he sent his spies, why is this river all of a sudden swelling and crossing its borders? And the spies went, wait a minute, yes, down the river, and they saw one powerful king. He had many arms, thousands of arms, and he used these arms to hold the flow of the river up because he wanted to bathe with his beautiful queens and enjoy in the hot summer some leisure, some enjoyment in the river. The spies said, don't do this, our Ravana is just there and you have flooded his camp. Have you ever been in tents in Frushkaguranga? Then the rain came and the water came in your tent. You were just eating your pizza there and all of a sudden you were up to your hips in the water. It's highly unpleasant. All the enjoyment is finished when water comes in the tent. So don't do this. Ravana is getting angry with you. Vira Arjuna, that was the name of the king, said, and who cares for this insect, Ravana? When Ravana heard the answer, he came desiring to fight and conquer Kartavira Arjuna. He had done this with everyone. But Kartavira Arjuna just snapped him with one arm, held him by the throat, and enjoyed some more with his wives. And then he went back to his town, put Ravana in a cave. Cage, and hung the cage up on the marketplace that everyone could see Ravana and laugh about him like if he were to be an ordinary chimpanzee. Chimpanzee is a little monkey, you know. And this Ravana could never forget this. He felt so humiliated. So Vritasura makes this point. Indra, you can't always win. Don't be so attached to winning. Even Ravana lost. We are all moved by the supreme mover. We are not moving independently. And then he makes he gives a good tip, which I would like to repeat to you. He makes a tip like Arjuna. You should endeavor with desires free from desires for profit and with no claim of proprietorship. You should just do your duty. And this is possible, my dear devotees, to be equipoised, to be unattached to success and failure. When you do something which is called in our philosophy taking on the role of the observer, to just observe what life brings before you without becoming attached. Sometimes it's happiness, sometimes it's distress, sometimes it's health, sometimes it's disease, sometimes it's wealth, sometimes it's abject poverty. You just watch it unattached. Prabhupada says this: the living being, the pure soul, has nothing to do with these modes of nature. In the midst of the hurricane of the material world, everything changes very quickly. But if one remains silent and simply observes the actions and reactions of the hurricane, he can be understood to be liberated. This is, my dear devotees, the lesson which you need to learn. To not lament and not aspire for many things in this world. Just watch it, just like what happens, what comes to you, like you watch a hurricane which moves everything around. In the summer I often do this. There is, where I live, strong winds and sometimes trees break, and I always like to go outside and watch the hurricane doing many things outside. And I think this is a good analogy for life and a good practice for life, to just watch what is happening, because no one can change this. It's under the control, not under our control. So Vritta then says to Indra, look at me, Indra, I should stop to fight because my arm is cut, my weapon is destroyed. I should lament, but I'm not doing it. I'm continuing enthusiastically. I'm trying my best to fight on. Therefore, continue. Indra thought, it's better I go home now. You are so strong and I don't feel happy. You are a Vaishnava. Why should I fight with you? Then he said, Vritta became intense. No, Indra first said, oh great demon, I see by your discrimination and by your intelligence, which you keep despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul and the friend of everyone. You are the greatest hero because you have given up Maya. You are no longer a demon. You are a Mahapurusha, the greatest of all persons, because you are fixed in Bhakti, the Supreme Lord Hari. I, on the other hand, I'm not so glorious because I'm attached to my enjoyment on the heavenly planets. Am I not like a small little fish who swims in the stinky ditch of water? So this was the discussion between great swords. So I want to see how the now we come to the end of the battle. Are you ready? Vritasura said, enough of this talk now. He took his left hand, the right was cut off. He took his iron club, he began to whirl it around and whirl it around and whirl it around, and then at one stage he let it go towards Indra. Indra jumped, took his vajra, and then cut the mace, the club. The club fell down in 100 pieces, then the vajra is a very powerful weapon, cut also the left arm of Vritasura. Vritasura, however, was not discouraged. He fell down on the ground. His legs began to move like the trembling feet of an elephant, and he came towards Indra and swallowed him. And Airavata and Indra and Airavata disappeared, first in the mouth, in the throat, and then in the stomach of Vritra. Battle was over. No one had thought about this. My God. Now the light of the world has been eclipsed. The king of the world, who is a devotee of the Lord, King Indra, had been swallowed by Vritra. Vritra said, "Oh, the battle is over. I better meditate now." And he closed his eyes, went into yoga trance, and went back, and then his soul left the body and went back home, back to Godhead. Indra, on the other side, was he dead? No, he was in the stomach, but he began to chant the Narayan Kavacha, a very powerful mantra, which my preaching party chanted when we were attacked in Afghanistan by people who were paid money to kill us. We also, there's a very powerful mantra, Narayan Om Vila Vila, and it starts like this, very powerful mantra. And he, by the power of the mantra, he sliced out of the body of Vritasura, who was lying there on the battlefield, bleeding from the two shoulders. He came up on Airavata. He took his raja, because he knew the demon looked as if he's dead, but demons are like snakes. They are only dead when you cut their heads from their shoulders. Otherwise, they might come back to life again. So, he wanted to cut the head of Vritasura, but because Vritra was in Samadhi and he was already back home, back to Godhead, his body became stiff. So Indra needed 360 days to cut the head. And finally the head of Vritasura fell from the shoulders of King Indra. Of the shoulders of the demon. I'm sorry. All the rishis, all the sadhus went. Good. Sorry, I'm so enthusiastic. All the sadhus, everyone was very, very, very happy, and they said, "Indra, very good, very nicely done." There were flowers which shouted, which came from the heavenly planets, and Indra was there, shaking with his raja, looking at the body of Vritra, from which a very, very great light came, and he started to cry. He cried like a little child. Then all the rishis, all the sadhus who had encouraged Indra to fight this battle, they looked at him and turned away from him and went and left him alone. Why did Indra cry? And why did the saints leave him alone, standing in the rain, as we say? Any idea? Yes? They killed the devotee. You know everything. They killed a devotee who was more than a brahmana. And now the sinful reactions would come. And there was nothing to do against it. The saints had said, you killed Dhritarashtra, he's the enemy of the world, and we will do an Ashvamedha Yagya. But when he had killed when they had killed, the saints just left. They had been self-interested. They didn't want the rule of Vritra to go on. They have said, and if there is a little sinful reaction, you can chant the holy names of the Lord. But when you chant the holy names of the Lord to become free from sin, will it work? No, it's a great offense. It's the seventh offense. To do a sinful activity and think, oh, my chanting will surely neutralize it. No problem. So Indra was left alone, standing in the rain, standing in the shadows of the sinful reactions. At that time, my dear devotees, he saw the sinful reaction coming upon him in the form of an old chandala, a dog-eating woman. Her hair was white. The limbs of her body trembled. Her body and the garments that she wore, white garments, were covered with blood because she always coughed. And blood came out. Don't worry. Because of her tuberculosis. There was an unbearable fishy odor that came out of her mouth and polluted the entire street with stink. When she ran towards Indra, Indra started to run, but she called, wait. Indra tried to get up in the sky and run through the sky, but the woman also took to the sky like a bird and followed him. Finally, Indra, who did not wish to be pursued by the sinful reactions, remembered Mount Kailash. That's where Lord Shiva resides. And before Mount Kailash, there's a lake called the Manasa Sarova. And in this lake, there are lotus flowers which represent Lakshmi. So Indra just did his best to go to Mount Kailash. He saw the lake and he went into one of the lotus flowers which stood in the holy waters of Manasarova, and then this sinful reaction could not get him. My dear devotees, there is a saying that all of us will be visited for 7 years in our life by Saturn. In Vrindavan they call him Shani. 7 years. And when Saturn looks at someone during the 7 years, everything becomes Malateshko. Very heavy. Do you know how Ravana was ultimately killed? Because Saturn looked at him. Ravana had taken all the 9 planets and put them in the steps which he walked every morning to sit on his throne. He wanted to step with his feet on the head of the planets which control everything. And one of the planets was Saturn. So Narada Muni, who wanted to bring about the fall of Ravan, said to Ravan, Muni intelligently, be intelligent. It's more fun if you step in the face of the planets when you go up to your throne than on the back. So turn the planets around and start with Saturn. And then when you go up the steps and step in the face, that is more pleasure. That is more good for enjoyment. So Shani was there. Ravan came up, wanted to step on his face, and Shani went back. Ravan said, I should kidnap Sita. This idea came in his mind. And when he kidnapped Sita, this was the first step to his downfall. Ram came eventually and put an arrow in his heart, which killed Ravan. My dear devotees, every one of us will be visited for 7 years by Saturn. Who was visited already? Oh, we have all old people. I think, Rinpoche, you were also visited. You may not have. There was a period in life which was really heavy. Is how did you feel this period? It was intense. Yeah, compressivity. Yes, we were compressed. I found out it taught me also to be more serious in spiritual life. Saturn said, "Pretty seriously, be more serious." Mahavajvala, Hare Krishna, you have left us for a moment. Where did you go? I don't know. No problem. We are the family. No problem. Maybe it's little. I think you were bathing in the Adria. It's too hot here. Let's swim in the Adria. So yes, this is this will happen to everyone. So it's like, it's not so bad, my dear devotees. You just, Saturn is described as a very heavy teacher, but if you learn your lessons and you don't pretend to not know what you have to learn, then Sunny becomes your friend. But anyways, one is happy when the 7 years are over, you know. Surgery happens then. Oh, the divorce. People turn against you. And so many things, you know, are just happening. So Indra had now not Sunny was not on his case. Or Saturn, Krishna, this sinful, the personified form of sin was on his case. He was so hungry, but Agnidev, the one who carries the offerings which are put in the fire, did not dare to go because Indra was under the water of the Manasarova, inside the fibers of a lotus stem. So also he thought, if someone sees me going to Indra and bringing him food, maybe they think I'm on Indra's side against, and I'm for killing Vritra, and then I also get my heavy reactions. In Germany we have a saying, mitgefangen ist mitgehangen. It means when you are captured with someone who has done a sin, you are not only the person who has done the sin is hanged, you are also hanged on the tree. So Agni David said, let me better stay away from Indra and not bring him his share. You must know the demigods. You will never find a kitchen in the heavenly planets because the demigods don't eat food the way we do. The demigods only eat soma rasa. It invigorates the senses. And therefore, they also never go to the toilet. They never have anything which comes out of their body, not even sweat, because their bodies are made out of energy and light. Very good bodies. They're good for dancing also. But they never perspire, they never pass anything, water or so. Like the trees, you know, the trees take water, but you never see them running away. I'm sorry, I have to go into the forest and just, I come back in 1 minute, you know. It's never done because they have such bodies. So, in the same way, eating would have not a problem for Indra, who was captured in the, who was there hiding in the lotus flower, which represents Lakshmi. But no one came and gave him anything to eat because they were afraid of Indra's sin of killing Vritra. So after some time, after 1,000 years, something wonderful happened. Because of the influence of the waters of Manasarova, the sinful reactions could not get him. Indra was also near the sacred abode of Lord Shiva, and the lotus flower was the place of Lakshmi. He practically fasted enough to come to his senses and then take full shelter. And at the end of this period, he actually was ready. He could take full shelter in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by chanting these holy names in a very nice way. And in this way, all sinful reactions left him. He chanted, Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Hare Nath Narayana
Krishna, Govinda, Hare Murari.
Which needs to be discussed. See, for 1,000 years, Indra was not able to come to the heavenly planets because he had done this mistake and he needed to do penance so that the sinful reactions could not get him. The question is, who ruled the universe in his absence? And it is a very important thing. It was King Nahusha. Nahusha lived on the planet Earth and he had a lot of knowledge, and also by his austerities he had developed a lot of mystic powers. He was like a yogi in the form of a king. So when the devatas saw that there was no Indra to rule the planet, they looked for a replacement and they thought Nahusha is the best for this job. Nahusha should become our king. So they went to Nahusha, who lived on the earth, and said, come with us. We will bring you to the heavenly planets. And Nahusha came into Svargaloka. It was the heavens. He was unlimitedly wealthy. He was unlimitedly powerful. He was unlimitedly influential. He had the role of Indra. So one day he thought, every morning the powerful devatas come and sing my glories to me. I'm extremely qualified. I should have everything which Indra has, including his beautiful wife Sachi. So he sent a letter to Sachi and said, I'm now the new Indra. I'm the king, and everything which belong to the old Indra belongs to me. Therefore you should come every evening to my bed. So she read this. She was shocked and she cried. But there was no one where she could take shelter of. If she would tell the ministers, they would say, well, he's the new Indra, no? He's our king. Finally, she thought, only my Guru Maharaj can help me. And she went to Brihaspati and told him everything. Brihaspati thought for some time. And he thought about what had made Indra originally fall. You remember, it was also his great pride in his position. He had become Madanda, that is, be blind due to pride. And therefore he thought, no problem, you have nothing to fear from Nahusha. You just write him a fake love letter. In the letter you say, I very much appreciate your idea, but it is better you come to my house. It is more equipped for sense enjoyment. And I will accept you, but only if you are carried on a palanquin. The Hindi word is a palki. A palki, which is carried by the seven great rishis, the seven great saints. That is better. This way everyone will know how glorious you are. So Nahusha read this letter and felt very enthusiastic. Wow, she has accepted me. He ordered the seven rishis to come and said, my dear seven rishis, you are sitting too much. You need some movement. You should carry my palki, my palanquin. So the rishis thought, well, we need a king here to maintain universal order. So they carried the palanquin of Nahusha, who was blind with lust. And Nahusha became very enthusiastic. There were three rishis in front and four at the back. But you know, they were brahmanas. They were used to carry books, not gold and palanquins. And they said it was going a little quick, so Nahusha, and slow. So Nahusha shouted, Saba, 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 hurry up, hurry up. I'm in a hurry. So finally, it was still going too slow for him. He took his foot and he kicked the great Saint Agastya Muni, who was before him, in the head. Agastya turned around and said, you are too proud. I will curse you. You have said to me, Sapa, Sapa, hurry up. But Sapa means also snake. So you will become a snake. Said Nahusha, oh, I'm sorry, I was covered by this momentary illusion. He jumped down from the palki and he paid his obeisances. He said, I too have become a snake. This is too much. I was a yogi. I was a king. I was now a snake. This is this doesn't fit. But Agastya said, I can't take my curse back, but because you are repentant, I tell you, when you meet the best of men, then you will be delivered from your curse. Best of men. Nahusha fell from the heavenly planets. I imagine it as a solid force. Like a meteor. And he became a snake, a big python. Agastya Muni had said, whenever something comes your way, towards the evening, you can capture it and it will be your food. No, it can't escape. So it once so happened that Nahusha was lying there at the python when all of a sudden he heard some crash in the jungle. I was today near the jungle and I heard all of a sudden sounds coming from the jungle. I thought, ooh, this is a horse. Then the next thing I thought, it's a lion. Then I thought, it may be Vritasura because it was so loud. And then one of our bhaktas came running out of the forest, sweating and being totally blissful because he ran and heard at the same time a Madhava Kirtan for better rhythm, running rhythm. And so he also heard someone coming close. But on the way, trees were broken then elephants were killed, the lions were thrown, left and right, and finally a powerful bodied human being stood before Nahusha. And Nahusha jumped on the being and coiled around him. Can you imagine who this was?
Bhima.
Bhima, yes, he is very strong, Bhima. So Bhima wanted to just flick him aside, but the snake didn't go. It coiled around him and made a big noose around him. And then Bhima finally understood, my God, I have to die today in the face of this python. Now, in the meantime, Yudhishthira asked Arjuna and the twins, Sahadeva and Nakula, have you seen our innocent young brother, Bhima? He said, no, but it should be easy to find him. When he goes through the forest in the evening to find something to eat, he breaks all the trees, and then there are lions and other animals opposing him. He just throw them to the side. Just follow. And Yudhishthira followed the way through the jungle, and then he saw Bhima in the coils of Nahusha. And he said, he could immediately understand, any snake which could capture his brother Bhima was a special snake, specially empowered with special strength. So he said, oh please, let go of my innocent young brother. He's sometimes a little bit harsh, but he has a good heart. Nahusha said, no, I don't let go of him. This is my food, which came by the Lord's mercy. Today, it's mine. Yudhishthira said, he is so innocent and kind. Take me as your food. Let him go. He's a good heart. Nahusha said, you are so skinny. I prefer this other brother of yours. But if you answer my questions, I will consider if I let him go or not. So then a wonderful discussion took place. I was a little bit taking notes here. One question was, tell me, Yudhishthira, is one a Brahmana by birth or by action? Yudhishthira was crying because he thought, Bhima, the young Bhima is gone. Then Nahusha said, just concentrate. I'm asking you a question. It could save the life of your brother. How does one become a Brahmana? By birth or by qualification? Yudhishthira says, only if someone acts like a Brahmana is he a Brahmana. A fine said, Nahusha. I have another question. And he asked him many, many questions. And he was very satisfied. And at the end he said, do you have any question to me? Oh yes, said Yudhishthira. O Savaraj, O king of the snakes, tell me, how does one fall down from bhakti? Nahusha said, this is a very good question. One falls down from bhakti when one becomes too proud. And I'm the example of this. I was full of knowledge, full of austerities, but I became so proud as Indra that I wanted to even be with Indra's wife in an undesirable way. Then I was cursed. My dear Yudhishthira, you are king. You should not become proud. This is the best tip. And I want to tell you something. I'm your ancestor. I'm born also in the same dynasty much before you, and I've met you, and you've given me answers. Now I can go to my final liberation. And he went out of the body. Before that, he gave Bhima back, and Yudhishthira was immediately looking at Bhima's body. Is there some bite? Is there some disturbance? But Narusha said, don't worry, your younger brother is all right. I have just squeezed him a little. It's good for him. But I have not hurt him in any way. So, my dear devotees, this is, I believe, one of the lessons of the Vritta Katha. Indra had started all his problems by becoming identified with the body and unnecessarily proud. So, and that is how Nahusha also lost his bhakti position. Please let us always learn from this lesson to never judge a devotee by his outside activities. It is not good. We should be forgiving. We should be kind to each other. We should be helping each other to move forward. And in this way, our life will become very, very happy. I want you now to do something which is called Anumodan. Anumodan means sharing. It means rejoicing. It means applauding and delighting in. Delight means to relish something. I would like you to turn to a neighbor and share with the neighbor what you found inspiring in this Vritta Katha. What has helped, what has inspired you. This is done at the end of a Bhagavatam Katha, and it will help you to get more benefit. So please find a neighbor. It's very important that you do this because it's tradition. No? Please don't be like the Serbian, not Serbian, but don't be neutral. Be active. Who has not yet found a neighbor? It's no problem, but you must talk about the subject matter. This is very important. So the subject matter is what inspired you during these days when you heard the Vritta Katha? What has given you joy? Please, anumodan is happiness which follows upon hearing something, and share this happiness with others. Don't share your newest Samsung telephone or the new Facebook, Twitter news. This about the Katha. Okay, start now. this katha by singing just for 2 minutes some bhajan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Yeah.